Morning. It's good to be with you today. I was just thinking that looking around and seeing who all we had with us, we've been pretty consistent in the last few weeks with who's been able to be with us, and I'm very thankful that everybody's feeling good and healthy and able to come together and worship. We're very thankful for that. We're also mindful of those that are not able to be with us, and we're thankful that you can join us online and share in these studies together. Also glad to have Michaela back with us, and we're glad to have the Russells, who've been visiting with us several weeks as they're in the area, and we're glad that they're here. We wrapped up last week a series of lessons on the life of Joseph. I enjoyed that series and had a request a few weeks ago to do a lesson on the subject of Zacchaeus. Henry Willis requested a lesson on Zacchaeus, and I'm happy to do that, and that's what we'll be looking at this morning. In fact, any time that you have a special request on a particular topic, just let me know, because that's the hardest part of preaching, is deciding on a subject to speak about. So I'm always glad to, when I can, to take those kind of requests. And there's lots of good things for us to learn in the story of Zacchaeus. In the story of Zacchaeus, what we see in the book of Luke, chapter 19, is that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the last time before his crucifixion. At the end of chapter 19, we see what's called the triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. And on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus passes through the city of Jericho. And Jericho is a very important city in the first century. It sat at the crossroads of major highways, and its location was strategic. And because of where it was a very rich city, and people passed through there on their way to Jerusalem. And it crossed the river and gave people access to places east of the Jordan River. And so, as you can imagine, this would be helpful in tax gathering, as we'll see in our lesson this morning. Jericho was known as the City of Palms because it had so many palm forests, and it also balsam was exported around the world that was grown there. And the Romans exported many things, dates and balsam, for trade and fame. Josephus called it the divine region and the fattest in Palestine. So that's a little background on Jericho as we look at our study. And in Jesus' day, Jericho had become one of the greatest taxation centers in Palestine. So that would make Zacchaeus one of the wealthiest tax collectors as we look at his story. So the major tax collection center here in Jericho, because of the traffic and the commerce that passed through the city, and the Romans imposed heavy taxation. So in Luke chapter 19, we're told about this man named Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. So a couple of things about this here. This is the only time in the Scriptures when we're looking at tax collectors. You know, there's a lot of times when we read about tax collectors, but there's a word here with that. It says chief tax collector. And so this is the only time that we see that attached to tax collector. And so you can imagine what that means. Zacchaeus clearly holds a high office in the Roman tax collection system in Jericho. And it's supposed that he likely had other tax collectors under him, since he was the chief tax collector and was in charge of tax collection in the city. Now, I'll just go ahead and address the elephant in the room, that we are going to sing the song at some point, so you don't have to wonder about that throughout the whole lesson. Is he ever going to get to the song? And so, you know, the song is one that is well known, and at the end of the service today, Rex is going to lead that for us. But, you know, when you sing that song as a kid, that song kind of romanticizes Zacchaeus a little bit, and you're thinking, well, he's just a nice little man, and he was short, and he just wanted to see Jesus. And so we think about him kind of in a in a nice way, but there probably weren't many people that thought about Zacchaeus in a very nice way because of his occupation. You know, we shouldn't think of him in a kind way, I guess you could say. He would have been the villain of the story to the average Jew, much like, you know, how many of us are happy when we open the mailbox and see a letter from the IRS? You know, that's not usually a happy time. We wonder, what is this about? And so that's the way people would have viewed Zacchaeus. He was not one that would have been welcome. And so Zacchaeus is not just a sweet little old man who had this one problem that he was just too short to see Jesus. We probably can infer, because of his occupation, that he was not generally thought of as a sweet little short man. Probably one of the most hated because of his occupation. So, as I said, he was not only a hated tax collector, he was a hated chief tax collector. And what was happening in that time is that the Roman government would contract with people to collect taxes. And so these people that collected the taxes, whatever they could get in addition to what the Roman government wanted is what they kept. And so Zacchaeus was rich. And so what does that mean? It means that the way that he was getting rich was the commission or the money that he was charging on top of the taxes that were going to the Roman government. So he was not just earning a comfortable living and had a modest home and a modest income. He was rich. That means he was taking a lot of money from those that he was taxing. So that is why tax collectors were so hated, is because that they had this reputation of skimming more than it was that they should, and they'd take whatever it was that they could. And so he's getting this money by collecting excess taxes. And so Zacchaeus is one that would not have been favorably looked upon. The public sentiment toward those tax collectors in Jesus' day is that they were the lowest of the low. And, you know, we're told, you know, no less than 8 times in the Gospels that people complained about Jesus eating and associating with tax collectors. You know, why would they do that? And the two words that you always see together with tax collectors is tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors and sinners. Those are the ones that Jesus is associating with. And certainly inferring that they were sinners too, but they're a special class of sinners. So we're pointing them out separately. And so twice in the Gospels, you know, Jesus is complained about because he's eating with tax collectors and harlots. And harlots were certainly ones who sold their virtue for money. And tax collectors were seen as having the same kind of vice. And so they collected more than was necessary and kept the rest. And they were viewed by many people as traitors. Men like Zacchaeus were individuals who betrayed people. As he worked for the Romans, you know, what kind of relationship would you have as a Jew with somebody who worked for the Romans? Well, you know, you're a Jew, but you're working for the enemy. And so the Romans were hated. They were occupiers of Israel. And the tax collectors were regarded as traitors. They were regarded as thieves, as they exacted these taxes from the Jews. And so they were certainly hated men. So Zacchaeus was in a situation where he probably didn't have a lot of friends. In verse 3, we see that Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was, and he couldn't because of the crowd, because he was short in stature. And so this tree right here is a picture of a tree that's in Jericho, and people think that it is 2,000 years old. There's many people that think this actual tree is the same tree. They do know that the tree is old enough to be the sycamore tree that Zacchaeus was in, but they really don't know if that's the same one. But it is a tree that is old, and they have it fenced off, and many tourists go and see that, thinking that if it's not the tree, it's one that's like it. So Zacchaeus was short, and what we see here gives us some interesting insight, starting in verse 3. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. So he went on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And so what we see here is a view of what it was like in this time of Jesus' life. You know, Jesus is about to be crucified, but this was also a time of great popularity among those who were following Jesus, where Jesus was very popular and people wanted to see him. And so when Jesus was entering Jericho, you know, that it was a parade of sorts. People are crowding. They want to see this religious leader that they had heard so much about. And so people were thronging around Jesus in every city that he came to. So they're leaving what it is that they're doing. They're coming out of their homes. They're coming out into the streets. And you know, if you've ever, you know, watched a parade or been in a crowd, if you're one that's shorter, it's hard to see what's going on. And I don't know how short he was, but I think pretty much inferring that he was pretty short, that he was not able to see, and he wants to see Jesus and climbs up into the tree. So somebody must have said, you know, Jesus is coming, and so Here is this man who is a tax collector who is seeking to see who Jesus was. Now, that's a lesson in and of itself. Who would believe that this is somebody that would have cared who Jesus was? Now, how was the tax collector looked at? They're looked at as the greatest of sinners. They're looked at as the lowest of the low. And this is not someone that probably you would normally think would be interested in anything remotely associated with Jesus. And so, what do we understand about tax collectors? Were they violating God's law? Yeah, if they were excessively taxing beyond what the Roman Empire demanded so much that they became rich, that would be somebody who's not compassionate in the way that they are treating others. But this man wanted to see who Jesus was. He had a curiosity about that and was interested in seeing who is this person that everybody's all excited about. And one of the points that I want to make here is that sometimes those who we don't really think would have an interest sometimes do. Sometimes the one that you think, because of who they are, what their job is, things that you know about them, you write them off as somebody that would never be interested in the things of God or never be interested in learning more about becoming a Christian. And sometimes we just go ahead and make that decision because of who they are, the way they talk, the way the things that they do, what it is that is their occupation, that they're not one who would ever want to know anything about Christ. But Zacchaeus has interest and curiosity enough that he leaves whatever place he's at, and he goes and tries to see Jesus as he walks through the streets of Jericho. And that interest is so strong that he doesn't give up when he gets there. Oh, well, you know, it's too crowded. I'm just going to go back home. He climbs up in the tree and tries to see him. So here's one that many would have thought wouldn't have any concern for spiritual things, but he does have this interest. So that's a big point for us, not to write off those who we think would not be interested, and to rethink that before we assume the worst. But what do we see happens with Zacchaeus? How does this go? Jesus is walking down the streets of Jericho. The throng of people is pressing against him. People are lined up to see him. and Jesus comes to the place where Zacchaeus is. Verse 3 says, he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not because he was small in stature. So he went on ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must come to your house today. And so Jesus comes to where Zacchaeus is, and he sees him up in the tree. And you can imagine that Jesus looks up into the tree, and they wonder what he's looking at. And here's this short man who is trying to fulfill his curiosity to see who Jesus is. And he calls Zacchaeus by name. And have you ever been called by name by somebody and you didn't know how they knew your name? That happened to me just recently. I was in a conference and had gone out to eat, and the person that was serving called me by name, and I thought, how did she know my name? Well, I still have my name tag on. Hello, my name is. And so Zacchaeus probably didn't have the hello, my name is tag on. And Jesus knew who he was and told him to hurry and come down, because today I must stay at your house. And he declares before all the people of Jericho here who would know who Zacchaeus is. You think people knew who the chief tax collector was? He was probably the one that everybody knew his name and never liked to see him coming. And no doubt they were not, oh, Zacchaeus, you come stand up here at the front. Let us make you comfortable so you can see what's going on. But Zacchaeus is excited about this news, because we are told in verse 6 that Zacchaeus hurriedly comes down from the tree and joyfully welcomes Jesus. He hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And so you see, everybody's automatically writing off Zacchaeus. And so Zacchaeus has gone from this curiosity to joyfully receiving Jesus. And perhaps he was able to quickly comprehend what Jesus is able to do, especially since Jesus called him by name. This is a teacher that Zacchaeus wanted to know, and Jesus already knew him. And that's amazing. That would certainly tell you that there's something different about this man. He's drawn a crowd, but he's also called me by name. That's amazing. And certainly there were others in that day, false messiahs, others that claimed to be the Messiah. But this one was different. Jesus was different from all the other Jewish teachers. Especially, here is a teacher, a Jewish teacher that would actually associate with him, that would actually talk to him. And, you know, there were Jews that would never consider entering the home of a tax collector or to eat their food. Because that's recognizing that you're accepting of them. And Jesus showed that he had this care about Zacchaeus, even though he was the chief tax collector who had become rich by taking money off of people. And he didn't treat Zacchaeus like everybody else did. Jesus was going to eat with him and lodge with him. And no other Jewish leader would have dared do such a thing. And so when the people of Jericho, who were thronging in the streets, heard that Jesus was going to eat at Zacchaeus' house, they began complaining. And this is typical of what's going on in Jesus' day. Every time that Jesus has an encounter where he's talking to the Samaritan woman, or he's engaged with discussions with others, and gone into the houses of others, there's always somebody there to pick Jesus apart about who he's associating with and who he's talking to, who he is accepting of, and never any internal looking at themselves to see that they are sick and that they are in need of a physician. So you can just imagine the gasping and groaning here of the crowd. It says when they saw it, they all grumbled. He's gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. But you don't see that Jesus defends Zacchaeus at all here to the crowd. You know, hold on, wait a minute. Zacchaeus is one who understands and makes a very dramatic statement of repentance. In verse 8 it says, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." And he says, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. And I think this is, sometimes people read this and think, well, this is Zacchaeus making a statement of innocence that I do this, and if I ever have done anything, I would restore, but I haven't done anything. I don't think that's the proper way to read this. You know, when you look at Zacchaeus and his position, and that he is described as rich, how did he get rich? Getting rich by taking money and taking too much money. And A.T. Roberson, in his commentary, says the language here indicates that he had defrauded, hence the complaining of the crowd. So not say that he's innocent of the charges. Jesus, what do we see that Jesus was doing here? What does Jesus say? Verse 10 says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost." And so here's one that's lost, and Jesus is seeking and saving. And so Zacchaeus was not a righteous person, but he's showing us a great example of how to be righteous, and that is to repent. And what is repenting? He said, "Well, I'm going to change my ways here now, and in the future I'm not going to defraud anybody." That's not what he says. He's talking about, "I'm going to restore what I took." He desires to make restitution. If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And so Zacchaeus is desiring to do something that's really a foreign concept to a lot of people today, and that's that you need to fix something that you broke. You need to make restitution. And so the law of Moses required restitution plus one-fifth. If you go back to Leviticus chapter 5 and Numbers chapter 5, if you had defrauded somebody, you had to pay back what you defrauded plus one-fifth. But Zacchaeus is going way, way above what the law of Moses is saying by saying, "I'm going to offer restitution of four times the amount." And so that really shows a big change of heart on the part of Zacchaeus. And I love that Zacchaeus did not say, "I know what the law says, and I'm going to do exactly what the law says. Or I'm going to do the bare minimum of what it is that I need to do to make things right." He said, "I'm going to do four times the amount." And so that is a great example. And he doesn't ask Jesus, what do I need to do to get by? I understand that I'm in a bad situation, but he offers this on his own. He offers this restitution on his own. And we need to recognize this as well, that when we are wrong, we need to desire and work to right the wrong. And sometimes that's not always possible in every way, but certainly in this type of situation where somebody has been defrauded, he had the ability to make restitution and to make that right. And so he's not going to keep all the money that he had obtained through defrauding. And he's not going to continue to defraud either in the future. So this is what true repentance looks like. It's not just saying, well, I'm sorry. It's a change of heart. And it's righting the wrong. And it's ceasing the wrong. So whether we're talking about lying or stealing or whatever it is, you have to right that and not continue to commit that. And so this is the concept that we see of this true repentance. And Jesus says in response to that, today salvation has come to this house. And so it's an important point that we see here about repentance, and that God demands that from us if we're going to receive His grace. And so, one of the things that we see in the world today is that people think, well, God will just accept me as I am, and I'm just going to continue to be like I am. No, you can't continue in sin. There's a call to repentance. And that is a major lesson that we see here in the life of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is not just a cute, you know, song for children and a story about a man that was too short to see Jesus. This is about somebody that, number one, they were held in great disdain by others because of their occupation and what it is that they did. And I imagine if we had lived in the same day, Zacchaeus would not be at the top of our list of friends either. Because, you know, you see him coming or see those that work for him coming, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to extort money from you. But Zacchaeus is one that told Jesus, I'm not going to be this way. I'm going to do what's right and change the way that I'm living. So that is the major lesson that you can learn from Zacchaeus. Don't just think about him as the short man who couldn't see Jesus, but as the man who had extorted in the past, and in the future he's not going to do that. And not only that, he is going to restore what it is that he took that he should not have taken. And Jesus honored that in the sight of all those that criticized him for associating with this person, and said, salvation has come to this house. And there were a lot of other people that were whining and complaining that should have been listening to that same lesson and looking at Zacchaeus and doing the same thing that Zacchaeus did. And so this is a very good lesson for us, and I appreciate Henry asking for a lesson on Zacchaeus, and I hope it's useful to all of us as we look at all the great examples in the life of Christ, and those that he associated with and those that he brought to the fold, just as he tries and endeavors to bring us to the fold. You know, we need to seek to see Jesus as well, but not only do we just need to learn about him, we need to do what it is that he tells us to do. We need to be obedient to his will, and we need to put on Christ in baptism and repent of our sins and live a life that's pleasing to him. After the invitation song, we'll sing the song about Zacchaeus after we have the invitation song. If we can help you in any way to be obedient to the gospel this morning, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
sing this twice this morning. The words always vary a little bit because this is like the Jews used to do. We hand these songs down. So it may not be exactly what you remember. So watch the screen up there and I'll try to follow along with that too. But let's sing it twice.
Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in that tree.
And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there,
for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house to stay. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in that tree.
And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today. I think we did very well. The kids can let us know. Do the men have anything else that should be announced that we overlooked this morning? Let's do keep those in mind, especially as it was said earlier about they can't be out with us right now. Sister Holliday, Brother Christy, sometimes Sister Gault can't be here. Keep Sam in our prayers as he's going to be traveling away for a good while. And we're going to miss him and miss the brethren that are not here on a regular basis. But it sure is good to be getting together once a week at least to have services like this. Randy, I thank you for your lesson this morning and appreciate the lessons that we get out of these people who were considered the chiefest of sinners among men, but God can save all of those. And it's interesting that Paul referred to himself as the chiefest of sinners and so would have equated himself with a man like Zacchaeus. And but the Lord saves us all from our own sin. Let's go to God in prayer and be dismissed, and then we'll look forward to meeting again next Lord's Day in person, but Wednesday evening for our midweek Bible study online.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessings we enjoy in our lives every day. We are thankful for your continued care, for the ability to come to you in prayer. Thank you for our health, our homes, and our families. Please continue to be with those who we regularly pray for, my grandfather, Miss Amy, Miss Beth, Mr. Christie. Please keep us and our families safe from COVID-19 and help the doctors and scientists find even better ways to treat it. Please continue to watch over those who are serving our country with our leaders as they are in office. Please guide the election of our leaders so that we can have a government that allows us to feel safe and keep our freedoms. When things in our lives get us down and we feel upset about situations happening in our country, help us remember that you are always in control and heaven is our goal. Help us overcome our temptations, and please help keep us safe as we go throughout this coming week. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to this earth to die for the remission of our sins. And in your name we pray. Amen.